Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
We're the Love Letter Squad, and yes. This is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time.
Yes, and we're going to bring you another wonderful story and love letter today. And Teresa, I'm going to ask you to introduce our guest since you knew her first.
Well, it's been my delight to introduce our guest, Vivina, who I met at the on a Saturday afternoon with a friend looking for a fabulous gift, and we visited her shop at the Craft Artist in the plaza there. And I was just taken by her vivaciousness and her stories and her fabulous smile and invited her to be on the show.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, Vivina, we're going to go right to you. And I'm going to ask you, first of all, would you like to tell us a little bit about your art? Because I think we'd like to hear about it.
I work with felt. I make felt from roving. And roving is the wool before it's spun into yarn. And I've discovered that I love making flowers. And I love working with color and the texture of the fiber. And the knitting satisfies my need to be organized and linear. And I count a lot. But then I also get color. And when I'm working, I actually do a prayer because I put the intention into what I do that the natural affections be restored to whomever comes into contact with my work. It makes it sound
How
terribly
lovely.
Exciting but
yeah.
or important, but it, you know, they're just flowers made of felt that I make.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But you put more of yourself into it than just your hands.
Yes, and I get a really big thrill when I see women put on my things. Because they look in the mirror, and suddenly they're pretty. And it doesn't matter what the age is. They can be 7 years old. They can be 86. They can be turning 90. Mm-hmm. And they put on a flower or one of my colliers of flowers, and something happens to them. There's a light that goes up through their face. And sometimes I'll say, oh, no, don't try that on because, you know, the color is completely wrong for you. And they'll say, no, I want to try it on. I say, okay. And then they'll put it on, and the woman, I don't know if she's looking at my piece, but she's seeing something in herself, and that makes the color right.
Oh, so you do the double angelic duty of creating something that brings beauty into the faces of those who wear it.
I don't know.
That's almost like a fairy tale. That's so nice.
So tell us how people wear these pieces. Since if this were television, you could see that Vivina is wearing one of her creations. But where do you wear these felt flowers?
Oh, the colliers are they're just circlets put on memory wire that I cover in fabric. And so they just put the flowers around their neck. So there's an embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this problem with making picky little, I'm not a jeweler, you know, these little things that you have to.
Oh, the clasps.
The clasps. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with clasps. It's just too much trouble. And so they just, the flowers sort of enfold the
wire. So the memory wire means you don't have to do a clasp. You can set it how you like
it.
Well, I'm going to be looking forward to going to find your
So it's a bit like
booth.
A lei, if you can picture that, made
bit.
Of felt flowers. And just so our listeners know, how can they find you at the Justin Hermann
I'm
Plaza?
I'm usually down at Justin Hermann Plaza on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, weather permitting.
Nice to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. So tell us a story about you, because I know just from the short time I've been talking to you over the last couple of weeks that you have so many stories in you, and they are all lessons in how to live life beautifully by the time they're filtered through you. Tell us about the incident, if you would, with your car.
Oh, my God.
Can you tell us that story?
I had decided that I was going to make the great escape, and I was going to take a few days off. Or just one day off, and got into the car and loaded it up with my excess yarn that I was going to make as a donation to the thrift store up at Point Reyes Station. So I was driving along, and I'm on the curvy road between Nowhere and Nowhere, on my way up there, and I heard this loud pop. And I thought, ooh, this is not good. And I looked through my mirror, and I saw smoke billowing out of the tailpipes. And I thought, this is very bad, in fact. And the road was really narrow, so I had to, I found a place where I could pull over. And I pulled over, and I opened the door, and then I thought, you do need to turn off the ignition.
Mm-hmm.
So I very carefully turned off the ignition, and I looked at my hood, and there was smoke billowing out of my hood.
Oh, so from both ends?
From both ends. And I thought, no, this is not good.
That's worse.
And so I saw a drive. I had parked it in a driveway. But everything's so fancy there, I thought it was a house, but it was a garage apparently, because there was nobody there. And I thought, well, I do need some help. So I walked across the road, and this very nice dog comes barking at me, and this woman comes towards me, and she looked as if I had descended from outer space somewhere, because I was wearing my plaid coat and red hat, you know, and I guess I didn't look like a bad person. How can you look like a bad person in a fringed plaid coat?
Flowers, yes, that's right.
And so I said, I do need some help. But I said, I'm not exactly sure what kind of help I need. And so she instantly put down her things because she was packing up her car. And she said, all right, let's see what we can do. And she walked up to the top of her driveway, and she sees the smoke billowing out on both sides of my car. And she said, well, you do need to call the AAA. Do you have a cell phone? I said, oh, no, I don't own one of those things. So she walked with me up to the car, and we looked like an ad for AAA or something. And she dialed a number, and then a very kind young woman came to the phone after she had finished talking to her. And then she said, well, since you're going to have a day in the country here, would you like a chair?
Oh.
So she gave me her deck chair so I could sit there. By the side of the road, and offered something to read, which I didn't need either. But then she went away, and she told me that it was going to be her birthday, and we just exchanged nice stories about how her whole life was changing now that she was nearing 60. And I told her about my flowers, and I told her about you. I told her that I was going to do a love letter show.
Mm-hmm.
And she went on her way, and I sat by the side of the road in her car, in her chair,
mm-hmm.
and then this enormous tow truck comes up, huge. And he offered to take me to somewhere, and I said, well, could we just go to Point Reyes Station anyway? And so I drove to Point Reyes Station like a queen with my car on top of this other big car. And then I had to spend the
day. So he was towing. You were in the cab of the car.
I was in the cab of the car. And what I noticed, that every single person that I met, beginning with the first lady, the tow car driver, the mechanic's assistant who drove me into Petaluma to see if we could find a rent-a-car, because I couldn't get out of Point Reyes Station because I had blown a hole in my radiator.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to drive to two rent-a-car places because there wasn't a car in the first one, and in the second one there was a problem. Then I had to, then he went away, then I had to traipse around and find a bus station. So I finally found a bus depot. So while I'm sitting at the bus
depot. And the bus depot was so you could take a bus back to
San Francisco.
I see.
So at the bus depot, I met a nice young man who said, well, I'm going to make sure that you get on the right bus. It's coming at such and such a time. And then there was an older lady who told us we were sitting in the wrong platform. And so she helped us along. And then there was another young man who knew how to get which bus to flag down. And he actually told me when the bus was coming. Then the bus driver smiled at me as if I was an angel.
Oh.
You know, when I got on his bus. And when I was sitting on the bus, I met a lady who'd had a bus accident. She was on hiatus from being a bus driver. And she said, now, this is the bus stop that you get off in San Francisco in the morning when you come back on the bus. She said, you go down to First and Mission, and you need to get there a little bit after 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay. And we talked some more. And meanwhile, to all the people that I had spoken to about my misadventure, I told them I was going to do a love letter show.
Uh-huh.
So they went off dreaming about love letters. And I told this lady as well. And she was getting off to have her back massaged or something. And the next morning, I ran down in the dark at 5 a.m. through Chinatown praying, please, God, don't let me see any rats. I just don't want to see any rats. And I was down there at First and Mission, and I always thought the people who took the Marin buses were rich lawyer types. Instead, I met a whole group of Mexican workers who were taking the bus from San Francisco, it's very expensive,
mm-hmm.
all the way to Santa Rosa to do jobs.
And they lived in San Francisco,
yes.
These people? And they, uh-huh.
And they were so kind, they recognized me as being somebody not them.
Mm-hmm.
And the men were such gentlemen. And I've been told, oh, if you get scared, go to the next, because there's a lot of louche people around there. But these were very kind,
mm-hmm.
gentlemanly,
yes.
gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I got on the bus, and once again, I had that wonderful smile by this lovely bus driver who really ran his bus like it was his castle.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him where I wanted to go, and he said, all right. And so because that original bus driver had told me to catch the bus there, I didn't have to stand.
Mm-hmm.
I could sit the 2 hours, whatever it took, to get back to Petaluma.
Where you had to get your car.
Where I had to meet the young mechanic
uh-huh.
who was going to pick me up from
the
car.
So the whole world, I mean, this huge team
yeah.
has come to your rescue.
Yes.
And you got to meet people
yes.
that you would not have met otherwise.
Never.
And you got to see that there were some cultural differences that worked so beautifully in your favor
yes.
that there was a whole group of men who were so gentlemanly.
Yes.
I think that is a cultural fact. I mean, I find that myself. You know, the Mexican men are so gallant and so gentlemanly and helpful and dear.
Well,
yes.
There's the bus driver, the one from Marin,
mm-hmm.
was a lovely Chinese man.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady bus driver
yes.
was a very tall, buxom blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And my third bus driver was one of those very handsome, very tall, I can only define them as Christian.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain quality
mm-hmm.
in Christian black men
mm-hmm.
that they have. And that's what he was. And he ran his bus.
Yes. I happen to be a real Muni fan. And,
me too.
And I always
me
am
too.
So appreciative. I see them as good captains running their ship
yes.
the way it should be. And
yes.
they're responsible for the... Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad you had this experience.
Well, so am I.
So, yeah, I bet.
Yeah. And the car was repaired.
Good. So you came out of this a slightly different person.
Yes.
How?
Well, I've thought about this story, and then other things that have happened on the plaza have also happened, and it's been reinforced for me.
In what way?
That if we are to come out of the social degradation that we are going through, we, people like us, people who speak to each other,
mm-hmm.
people who read, people who are willing to be kind, I think are sort of a remnant. We're the remnant of real human beings. And real human beings, I've learned this from looking at babies, are have a capacity for kindness.
Yes.
God does not need gratitude. We really don't need gratitude, but we do need to offer kindness to other people.
Okay, so let me ask you then at this point, who's going to get a love letter from you today through this experience? I know that you don't know every single person's address, but I can see, you know, a thank you and actually a gratitude letter is a love letter.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yes.
So then my love letter is, I thought originally it would be for my godchild who will soon turn two. But now I realize from speaking to you that my love letter needs to go to every single one of those individuals that I met that day.
Or as many as you can find.
Yeah.
Because they were all heroic on your behalf.
Well, but they were heroic, not because I was a damsel in distress.
Right.
They were heroic because they were simply being kind.
Yes, they were doing the right and the normal thing that people should do. And I don't think you should get a gold star for doing the average, which I think being kind should be the average thing. It no longer is all the time.
Right. It goes beyond courtesy.
That's right. But letting them know how they touched your life will be a gift to them that they're not expecting.
Well, I also think perhaps, maybe, the young man, this is the best part of the whole story.
Okay.
The young mechanic who had to drive me around. When I went back to pick up my car and after it had been very nicely repaired, I asked him, now, did you go home and tell your wife the good news? And he said, yes. He said his wife was a little bit peeved because some strange woman got in his car and said all the same things that she had said for the past 2 or 3 years.
About what?
She wants to have a child. And he had agreed that, yes, he would like to have a child with her and be a father. Oh, my goodness.
because of the conversation he had with you?
Uh-huh.
My goodness.
About life in general or about
life,
having babies or?
Life in general. And he was able to talk about his concerns about becoming a father.
Mm-hmm.
And
in this world?
In this world.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not he was capable of taking care of a child and being responsible for a child, financially, emotionally, everything. And during our conversation, he came to some kind of a decision. And that makes me wonder, maybe, oh my goodness, I'm crying. This is so dreadful.
It's wonderful.
People are going to be listening to weeping.
That's good.
And blowing noses.
It happens sometimes.
It happens a lot. That's what this is about. Just expressing yourself in the most forthright, compassionate, understanding, insightful way you can. And the depth of what happens to people so often brings tears. Yes.
Maybe.
So what is it you'd like to tell him?
Daniel or the young man?
The young man. Daniel is your godchild. Let's do that another time. Because I know that must be a whole other story.
That's another story.
Which we'd love to hear.
It's another program.
Yes.
We'll invite you back.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's talk to the... What's the young man's name? Do you know?
Jamie.
Okay. And you know where he works,
uh-huh.
So you can send this to him.
Oh, I can, can't I? I can just bring it there.
You can bring it there, but if you hand it to him...
Yes.
Our advice is you hand it to him and then you leave.
Okay.
Because a love letter, which a good thank you is,
uh-huh.
A love letter is private. And even though you wrote it and you know what's in it, his reading it is private.
Oh.
And he needs to do it
privately.
Alone. Yes. Mm-hmm. So he can absorb what you're saying without being watched or having any expectation of a comment. And have, and sometimes it takes time to absorb what's in a letter. Sometimes we need to read it two or three times to get all of it.
So that,
and by the way, this letter that you write him, his child that he's going to have is going to see someday.
Yeah.
So what is it you want to tell Jamie?
I don't know.
Well, let's talk about some of the things. I mean, I think everything that you said, that you started out a day that seemed to be a misadventure. You started out with a challenge. Your car blew from both ends.
Yeah.
And maybe just like you said now, maybe to go through the adventure, the misadventure, and talk about the different people in whose hands you landed, the woman with the garage.
Uh-huh.
Tell it as a story. Tell it as the story that happened. And focus on his part in it. I mean, when he took you around, when he drove you around, uh-huh. Was it something you expected?
Well, of course not.
Of course not.
Because he actually offered.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the garage, and we're standing there talking to his boss, and I said, well, how am I going to get home?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a bus? And he said, no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, can I rent a car? Mm-hmm. Well, no. Can I borrow a car? No. Well, so the boss said, well, maybe we can get you to Petaluma. I'll drop you off in Petaluma,
mm-hmm.
and you can rent a car, because he said he had to go somewhere. I said, well, then how am I going to drive the car back? Because will I be driving two cars at the same time? Things.
Okay. So you can write all this just like you're remembering it.
Uh-huh.
And just let yourself do what you do when you make flowers. Let yourself do what you do when you create anything.
Oh.
Just do it fully and wholly and know that it's going to be the emotional adornment that this man is going to carry with him forever.
Oh, because he thought he was strange.
Why?
Because he didn't watch television. He didn't watch movies. He grows his own food with his wife. His wife really... Oh, and one of the things I noticed about him,
mm-hmm.
when he was sitting in my car, well, he offered to drive me then to Petaluma and pick me up in mm-hmm. the morning so we could solve driving two cars simultaneously. He was enveloped in a field, in an aura of love for his wife. And you could actually, when I was in the car with him and he was driving slowly,
mm-hmm.
you could feel that warmth that she had enveloped him in.
Okay, so you want to say that. I'm just making notes for you. So that you can remember some of these directions you're going in.
Uh-huh.
But I know that the few little scribbles that I've made here, you'll see and be able to enlarge on it. And
okay.
It seems to me, because it seems that the most important thing about this experience was the gentle influence you had somehow on him.
Yes.
That made him realize he could be a father. Maybe that was because you let him take care of you and be in charge, and he saw how well he did it. I mean, I'm guessing. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Right. So maybe you just want to go right to it and say how happy you are that he's decided to have a baby with his wife.
Well, I did.
Yes, but in writing.
Oh, in writing.
Yes.
Yes. And to reaffirm it.
Yes, and you make an interesting point. You do say these things. We say things out loud. But to have it on paper is to have it forever, because memory dims.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's 80 and that baby is 60 or 40,
uh-huh.
he'll get to see it as it was at the time. And you have to date it so that forever people who read it will know on what date this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I find love letters sometimes with no dates, and it's just, I just think that's just so sad 100 years later.
Yes.
Or even 5 years later.
Even yes. 5 years later.
So memory dims, and he'll be able to read this and reread how important he was to a woman who was kind of lost and had started out on a bad day.
And this child will know how he or she happened to be on this earth.
That's right. And this child will know what a nice pedigree he comes from, that his father was a helpful, independent person. And when you say these things like he doesn't have a television or he doesn't go to movies, portray him as you know him.
Oh, for the benefit of
because part of this
child also.
Part of, yes, and you could even say that. Mm-hmm. I want this down on paper because that child of yours someday should be able to read this and know.
And also his wife will know why. She, it validates why she loves him.
Yes.
And really would want a child with him and raise a family with him.
Yes. So you know what you're doing here. Yes. You're a woman who's creative. And you make beautiful things out of very little. You start with a raw product and you make beauty. And that's what you're doing here. You're starting with a raw product of what you feel and your experience, and you're going to make something gorgeous out of it.
Oh,
on some very beautiful paper, right?
Yes. Okay. Now I have to improve my handwriting.
Well, you don't really.
I don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
You don't.
I'm looking at your handwriting, and it looks fine to me.
Looks excellent.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
Yes. It's you. I mean, you don't have to, and you shouldn't do anything that's not really you, including your handwriting. Handwriting is just key, because it's you. Nobody else has your handwriting.
Is it common for you to write things?
I'm starting to again, yes, because I used to want to be a writer, and so I have the famous Great American Novel, two versions of it, you know, in my closet.
Good.
Unpublished, of course. But I found that it was a very frustrating process because I thought my vocabulary was not rich enough.
And oh, it is. However you say, for a love letter in particular, however it comes out of your mouth is how it goes down on the paper. Don't change it.
Oh.
When people feel that they have to do something special to be a writer.
To compose.
Uh-huh, to compose can be the kiss of death because then it's not you and it can be stilted and you end up not saying what. Write from your heart through your mouth under the paper. Everyone who writes a love letter, if it's your truth put to paper, is a good writer, I think.
Ah.
Yes. So we want to say, after this, which is something I always say, that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter itself is a special occasion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And can I add to that?
Yes.
Do we have time?
Yes, just a moment.
I think that if anybody has a problem or feels ill or is unhappy for any reason, all they need to do is pray for the arrival of a healthy baby.
Good. Yes.
Wonderful.
It's a beautiful thing.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you, dear, for coming and doing this with us and sharing this wonderful story.
All right. Sorry, am I sobbing?
And thank you, all of our listeners. If you'd like to listen to this program again, please go to our website. We have all of our past programs there, www.lovelettersquad.com. Janet will spell it.
LoveLetterSquad.com. And I do this because, you know, with this world, if you're one letter off, nobody ever hears from you.
Right. And we want to hear from you, and we would like you to visit the site for more information.
And inspiration.
And inspiration. So, in the meantime, we encourage you to put your loving thoughts into words and send them while you still have the chance. So, till next week.
Thank you.
From Teresa.
Bye. And Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.